This summer, five Republican legislators sent a letter to Governor Mike Beebe and his Medicaid team, asking them to slow down on Medicaid reforms and a possible expansion made possible when the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Affordable Care Act.
The GOP legislators also asked the governor to consider some reforms to Medicaid, including drug testing, higher copays for medical services, and using technology to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse. Recently, Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net sat down with State Senator Johnny Key of Mountain Home, one of the five Republicans who signed the letter.
Let's begin with this discussion of expanding Medicaid. Medicaid Director Andy Allison produced a report about a little over a week ago that showed there would be some savings and potential economic impact for the state. Economist Kathy Deck with the Walton College of Business has a Medicaid study from about 2 years ago out there. Tell me how you feel about those economic studies in terms of the potential impact that an injection of Medicaid money could bring to the state. Do you agree with those studies and their assessments?
We are taking an approach right now of looking at the underlying assumptions. We have asked the Bureau of Legislative Research to run their numbers. We have asked them to check with DHS on some of these assumptions. One of the big parts is the new general revenue that may come in as a part of this infusion of federal money, but we're not sure exactly how they base that increase in revenue. We understand where they say new people will be hired, but you know, we're also wondering, will hospitals actually hire those people? Will doctors hire those people? Doctors are trying to run short-staffed right now to pay the bills that they have now. Several things that go into this equation that we want to have a better understanding of before we say, yes, we agree, or no, we disagree.
So are you getting answers to those questions? Are you talking to the folks with the hospital association, folks with the medical society, things like that?
Absolutely. Either individually as members or with our staff in the Bureau of Legislative Research, we are working with those folks to get a better understanding of, and of course with DHS, to understand where their numbers came from. And to look at it to see if it is indeed appropriate to use some of the assumptions that they use.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were one of the five Republican lawmakers that signed this letter to DHS Director John Selig. It was also copied to Andy Allison, to the governor. You asked that there be a slowing down of the process, a more methodical approach to this potential Medicaid expansion. A lot of folks that believe the expansion ought to take place say this is just a stall tactic from you guys. How do you address that criticism?
Well, it's not a stall tactic because this wouldn't be effective until 2014 anyway, this new infusion of money. We want to make sure that in the legislative budgeting process that we have enough time to answer all these questions, and not just are we going to expand Medicaid, but are there some fundamental changes we need to make to the Medicaid process, to the administration of Medicaid, that will help garner some savings from it, and to make sure that if the decision ultimately is to do this, that we're not leaving taxpayers on the hook for a bunch of unnecessary spending.
This does ultimately come down to a budget decision, just as much as it is a policy decision of wanting to help people who may be uninsured or poor or who could benefit from a Medicaid expansion. It's going to come down to number crunching. Do you think when the budget hearings start this fall, do you think this is where the rubber's going to meet the road and you guys are going to work this out? Or do you think that it's going to take more time than that? It's going to be in the 2013 legislative session before you get some of the answers that you need.
I think that's very possible. There may be some budget proposals that come forth that include components of this. We already know that between $200 and $400 million deficit in Medicaid as it stands right now. According to what the governor has told me, and I've had a direct conversation with him about this, there'll be about 6 months that we would have to absorb that as a state before this new infusion of federal money kicks in. You know, if you look back at the history of Medicaid when we started in 1970, I believe it was when Arkansas came on board, the match rate was about 80%. So for every $4 the federal government sent down, we only put in a dollar. Now that match rate is about 70%. Long term, what is the addition of 250,000 Arkansans to the Medicaid rolls going to do in 10 years and 20 years? And those are some of the things that, as legislators, it'd be irresponsible if we didn't ask those questions before we move forward.
Right now, though, you've got, for the first 3 years, starting in 2014, you've got 100% covered by the federal government, and then that works its way down to about 90%. You still got a 9-to-1 match there. You got to like that. I mean, if I were to give you a dollar and you were going to give me $9 in return, I'd take that deal all day.
And if you did the same, I'd be glad to take that. But the difference is we're talking about tax money coming from a federal government who's already spending $5 trillion in excess every year of their budget. It's not sustainable. And is it responsible for us as a state to add to that problem? That's a bigger issue. The issue for Arkansans is, though, when that 10% threshold hits, will we be able to afford it? Does that mean it's going to be another $100 million, $150 million? We've got prisons, we've got higher education, we've got K-12 education, a lot of things that we have to be responsible for that are constitutionally mandated. And we want to just take the time to understand what this means long term before we jump into it.
Do you think that it is an all or nothing proposition? All in for the Medicaid expansion, 250,000 uninsured Arkansans, or can it be 50,000 of the neediest or somewhere in between?
Great question. I asked the governor that. And to the governor's credit, he is asking the feds, what does this mean? What is our limit? What can we do? What can we not do? Can we come back later and back off if our budget constraints won't handle this? And I asked him that question. What if we only go up to 75% of poverty or 100% of poverty? And he assured me that those are the kinds of questions that he is asking. So I think we'll get those answers.
All right. As I said earlier, this is a budget decision as much as it is a policy decision, because you've got to make it work within the framework of the revenue that you bring in. It only takes 25% of the votes in the Senate or the House to block a budget bill. So regardless of who wins party control this November, Republicans or Democrats, I feel pretty confident in saying someone's going to have enough votes to block that one way or the other. What does a compromise look like to you?
I think a compromise looks like something where we put the patients at the center of this, where we may give them some flexibility with their Medicaid dollars. Right now, the way it's set up, that's just opaque to those users of Medicaid. They don't understand the cost. They don't understand what it's costing to provide those services. If we did something along the lines of a health savings account, where people have a stake in understanding what they're paying for their health care, if we increase the copay so that there was a reason not to miss an appointment for no reason, no good reason, things like that in the administration component of Medicaid that could get us closer to a better understanding and maybe that compromise that you're talking about. But ultimately, it's going to come down to the dollars. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what is this going to mean to our taxpayers here in Arkansas?
Some of those items that you were mentioning were things that you guys expressed in your letter to the governor and to Director Selig there. Let's turn our attention to something else that's been going on. We've been watching this petition signature process. You're on the State Agencies Committee, which oversees potential constitutional amendments and ballots and initiative items. Do you think, we've seen this invalidation rate at 70-71% for a couple of these. Is there some discussion about some potential legislative reforms to that process as a result of what we've seen this cycle?
Possibly. One of those potential reforms would be if you submit petitions and the failure rate or the reject rate is above a certain threshold, maybe you don't get the extra 30 days. We don't want to change the number. We don't want to increase or decrease the number, in my opinion, that are required for these petitions. I think to the credit of the Secretary of State's office, they had a great job of confirming and verifying these signatures. The sad thing is that Ms. Todd and Mr. Nelson were victims, I think, in my opinion. And they're victims of someone who did not do a very good job for them. I don't know that we need to rush out and change the whole process based on two situations.
State Senator Johnny Key is one of five Arkansas Republican legislators who signed a letter this summer asking Governor Mike Beebe to take a slow approach to Medicaid expansion and to consider certain reforms to the Medicaid system. He talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, TalkBusiness.net.
Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. Verizon offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.